This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for tuning in on this Saturday morning. Today is the first day of Hanukkah for 2012, and to celebrate, I have editor Emily Franklin, whose collection of stories called How to Spell Hanukkah and Other Holiday Dilemmas has just been reintroduced in paperback. 18 writers celebrating the 8 nights of lights, and boy, what a collection it is. Good morning, Emily, and welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So this is the reintroduced version of How to Spell Hanukkah. What was the reaction when it first came out?
When it first came out, I think we had a pretty warm reception. It was in hardcover, and, you know, standard practice is to keep hardcover around for a little while and then do a paperback version. Hanukkah never really goes out of style. So I think the first time it was published, people were happy, and now I'm seeing some good reactions from this go-round.
I was surprised in reading this collection of stories, at least the first couple of stories, have a rather snarky tone to them, that a lot of Jewish folk don't really take Hanukkah seriously.
Well, you know, we do take the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and to a lesser extent, Passover, very seriously. So I think that, you know, Hanukkah has certainly gotten more attention with this sort of Christmas madness. But these essays in particular, we wanted to find not your traditional warm and fuzzy feelings, because I think that the holidays are a complicated time for people. And so when I asked writers to go back and sort of look at their experiences, I wanted to get some funny, some snarky, some sad, and some happy versions of their holidays past.
Well, from my perspective, Hanukkah has always been a special holiday to the Jewish people, but it doesn't seem that all Jews take it as seriously as you think, that it really is kind of the redheaded stepchild of the holidays.
I think it is. I mean, I think that it's certainly not a super serious holiday, but I think we use it as a time to come together with friends and family and certainly throw in some potato pancakes and latkes into the mix, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, but not too many latkes.
No, well, you know, everybody has their limit. There's only so much oil the body can really process. So.
Well, how is this in fighting, you know, the preservation of Hanukkah, if you may, and the overwhelming title surge that is Christmas this time of year? How much of it was motivated in trying to make sure that Hanukkah stayed true to its roots?
Well, I think that this book was sort of born out of a little bit of frustration that I know my editor, I have another editor too, that we felt that there wasn't really the voice of Hanukkah. There are so many Christmas books, and that's terrific, but where are the sort of younger voices of Hanukkah? And so that's certainly where the idea came from. And then in terms of preserving it, I think that that's sort of left to the individual and their family. I mean, certainly in my house, I grew up celebrating Christmas, and even though I am Jewish. And when I married my husband, who is also Jewish, we sort of decided to preserve the holiday in our own way, very low-key, latke-based, menorah, some presents, but a community aspect. And so I think that for us, preserving the nature of the holiday is really sort of taking a moment to just come together as a family and to also open our door to our community to try and band together away from the commercial aspects of what's become the biggest draw now.
Well, I was very touched by Joanna Smith Rakoff's story, Dolls of the World,
yeah.
and about how growing up there was some sadness in her house and how her mother and father had kind of lost faith and how much they didn't celebrate Hanukkah. They kind of walked through the routine, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. but didn't really do it. How much is that a reality in among Jewish families, that there are some that just don't celebrate Hanukkah?
Well, I mean, certainly for me growing up, it was not really put out there as much of an option. I think it's hard in the age of a sort of overwhelming Christmas tree and red and green and the Christmas music. And I know even for my kids, it's like the lights of Vegas are shining off in the future. And that's what you're sort of saying. And they're saying, why can't we do that? And you're like, oh, no, look over here. We have a menorah. and it seems to pale in comparison. So I think any comparison isn't really a healthy thing. And so whether families are going through the motion you know, I can't speak to their sort of family dynamics, but I know for my husband, for us, with our, we have four kids, and really trying to figure out what is the meaning for us. Well, for us, it's really family and history, yes, but celebrating the Jewish culture and trying to find happiness in a simple way, whether it's with candles or with, you know, a community food drive that we do. So,
well, how many of these writers were readily willing to share their Hanukkah stories? Did you have to do any arm twisting, any persuasion?
Well, I mean, I certainly contacted a lot of writers. Not all, not everybody had a Hanukkah story. Some people said, you know, I celebrated it, but I can't really think of, you know, a defining story. I can't really think of something to say. And other people had a lot to say. And certainly the writers that I sort of chose to go in here had a very clear idea of what they wanted to say. Elisa Albert really wanted to go over a sort of day by day, week at a glance. Jill Kargman has a very funny essay about being the only Jew in Idaho, pretty much,
yes.
Which is very funny, even though it gets at the heart of sort of anti-Semitism that still exists in this country and elsewhere. And so people definitely had stuff to say, more so than I would have predicted. You know, and some of it, it goes back to the writer's truths, you know, whether some of them are very funny and some of them are very melancholy. So it really depends.
When you were putting this collection together, were you aiming it for a Jewish audience or the general public? What was the mission of the collection, How to Spell Hanukkah and Other Holiday Dilemmas?
I think it was really a meeting point somewhere in between those two groups. I mean, yes, obviously maybe Jews would relate more to these stories, but because they're written by and large, literary and commercial fiction writers and nonfiction writers, and we even have a comic strip artist, and they're a graphic artist, was really so that any reader would find these stories relatable and touching and poignant and humorous all at the same time. So it's somewhere, I think it's really a collection for anyone.
Well, I loved laughing. I was really touched by some of the stories. Among these many stories, any favorites for you? Any that rung your aesthetic chord?
Well, it's like Sophie's Choice. You can't ask me to pick among my... brethren.
True.
You know, I love them all. I helped, you know, pick them out and shape them. So I was just very thankful to have them all in there. But, you know, I really can't pick
a not going to pick any favorite out of there.
No. Although I do like that they address a variety of things. Some are sort of old romance based and some are sort of current parenting dilemmas. The, you know, Karen Bender and Robert Siegel's co-written essay about how they can keep their kids away from the commercialism. So there's a lot to relate to there, so it's tricky to pick.
Well, on this first day of Hanukkah, what is the biggest mistake people who don't know about Hanukkah make when it comes to understanding the holiday?
I think that they don't understand that the homemade latke is much better than the mass-produced. No, I think that hopefully they can find a family that can show them what the celebration is all about. I know I have a friend who just asked, how many nights does it go on for anyway? 21? 15? The answer is 8. It is confusing, and there isn't really a set format. So some people light lights, some people do a present every night, some people don't do presents. It's really sort of just like the title implies, How to Spell Hanukkah. There are lots of ways to spell it and lots of ways to celebrate it. So,
and not everyone or not anyone knows how to spell Hanukkah, so you never get it wrong, right?
That's right. I just told my kids that yesterday. CHH, 2Ks, it's up to you.
All right. Well, thank you, Emily.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Emily Franklin, the editor of the collection How to Spell Hanukkah and Other Holiday Dilemmas, 18 writers celebrate 8 nights of lights. Available where books are sold. You can find a link to learn more about the collection at our website, wvxu.org. And happy Hanukkah.